It's Tennessee. It's South Carolina. Your final preview of the big game coming up tomorrow. My keys to the game and a little bit more on South Carolina. All that's coming up on a Friday show.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols. You know it. It's your go-to Tennessee Volunteers podcast every single weekday morning. It's a part of Locked On Podcast Network. That is your team every single day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, and this episode is brought to you in part by, if I can find my tag, Underdog Fantasy. Sign up at underdogfantasy.com with the promo code Locked On, and you're going to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Big thanks to them for making this show possible. All right, so yesterday we crossed it over with Locked On Gamecocks. Today I'm going to give you some even more stats, more information on the South Carolina Gamecocks. And then we got Boogie Bentley from Talking Vols coming up for segments 2 and 3. It is your Friday show. I'll remind you throughout the show today too. I'm going to do a bonus show I'm going to release on Saturday. I mean, the game's not until 7 o'clock, so we need some more content to fill a little bit. I'm going to release a bonus show talking Tennessee hoops, tomorrow. So be on the lookout for that. It'll be slightly shorter, but I will have a show coming out tomorrow as well. All right. So South Carolina, who is South Carolina? It's a 6-4 ball club, 3-4 inside Southeastern Conference play, got up to a 5-2 start. I mean, it blew past, it won against Georgia State. It did lose to Arkansas 44-30 in week 2. It got crushed by Georgia, but then rebounded, won, what, 4 straight, won over Charlotte, and that's easy. South Carolina State, that's easy. Won against Kentucky, but of course Kentucky did not have Will Levis in that game, but still, Kentucky's, you know, not as good as what we thought they were going to be. Texas A&M at 1, that's an A&M club that's just depleted, there we go, words. It lost to Missouri 23-10. It beat Vanderbilt 38-27. And it got smoked by Florida last week, 38-6. So it's lost 2 of its last 3. It's been a little up and down and everything. And I'm not trying to take anything away from South Carolina, but I mean, you do look at the schedule, you look at the wins. I mean, what more has it done, right? I mean, its wins are against, you know, crappy teams, to be completely honest with you. Kentucky's not a good football team. A&M's not a good football team. Vandy's not a good football team. Those are the 3 SEC wins. And the losses came against teams that you know, thought were pretty much going to beat them. Except, you know, I thought South Carolina could beat Missouri, but of course that didn't happen either. It's a team that struggles to score points offensively, and it's a team that really struggles to defend the run game defensively. It's better in scoring points category. I think it averaged like 22 points per game a season ago. It's up to 28.6 points per game this year, but that's still not fantastic. It only averages 355 yards of total offense, 61 plays per game. It throws for about 228, runs for about 127. It's turned the football over a total of 23 times so far this year. Offensive line is not good. It's allowed 23 sacks on the season, so there's going to be some opportunity there for Tennessee's front 7 and really defense overall. And it's only scoring touchdowns inside the red zone 66% of the time, which is not a good mark. Spencer Rattler, again, long time removed from his 2020 campaign, where in a shortened season, he threw for 28 touchdowns and over 3,000 yards passing. So far in 10 games, he's thrown for 1,992 yards. 8 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, completing passes at 65%. Those are not good numbers. He's not efficient. He's not playing efficiently. And there was a lot of toys that South Carolina went out and got over the offseason, and those toys have not really cashed in, all except for one, in my opinion. Running back Christian Beal-Smith from Wake Forest. He's only played in 7 games this season, missed 3. He does have 5 touchdowns, but only 146 yards on the year. That's it. Marshawn Lloyd, who was the backup last season, he's the Hulse in the backfield, 556 yards, 9 touchdowns in 8 games. And, you know, both of those guys have been banged up a little bit. And of course, when we talked to Andrew yesterday, he said they might not play. I've been hearing that, you know, that they're getting closer to playing, so we'll see exactly if they're out there. Jaheim Bell is the biggest playmaker on this team in terms of versatility and all that. He's a tight end that takes handoffs out of the backfield to help out with the run game. He's rushed for 150 yards, scored two touchdowns. He's caught 18 passes for 200 yards on the season. He's a guy. Austin Stogner came over from Oklahoma as well, the tight end. And, you know, he's got 18 passes so far this season. So they throw to their tight ends and the running backs an awful lot. Antoine Wells leads the way. He is a James Madison transfer. 43 receptions, 590 yards, and four touchdowns on the season. Josh Van, their leading receiver from a year ago, has only got 14 receptions on the year for 162 yards and a touchdown. I mean, where has he been so far this year? It's just been now, they didn't have a quarterback last year for the longest time. Doty was hurt and some other guys. I mean, they had the graduate student come in that was going to be helping out on the offensive end that played quarterback for like North Dakota State or something. And then like in camp, they had injuries. And so he put a helmet back on and went out and played. I forgot his name, but he ended up playing a lot. And I like that story, but they started four different guys under center last year. They never had consistency on the offensive end. They do have a quarterback in Spencer Rattler. I mean, he is a quarterback capable of making the SEC throws. He just doesn't do it consistently enough. But it's been a real struggle bus city there for South Carolina offensively. And that offensive line is not good. Not good whatsoever. Defensively, not great. 374 yards rushing is what Florida tallied against South Carolina last week. I mean, that number is not going to happen again, right? I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, that's an anomaly, I feel like. But they're not great against the run. They were next to last, I'm pretty sure, in the run defense last year. And they were giving up 20 less yards a season ago than what they're giving up now on the ground. Surrendering 192 rushing yards on the ground a game. That's not good. They've only accumulated, 16 turnovers is pretty solid. They've got 16 turnovers. They've sacked the quarterback, 16 times, 49 TFLs. Getting a little hot and cold. I mean, they've got a couple of guys. They got a couple of dudes. I mean, I think that quarterback Marcellus Dial is a guy. He has two picks. Free safety Devonnie Reed, who came over from Central Michigan, I think he's a dude. Linebacker Sherrod Green leads the team in tackles, but he plays right in the middle of 53 tackles. On the edge, Jordan Birch is a guy that leads the team with 3.5 sacks. Again, this is just kind of a very underwhelming football team, and I think Tennessee can have an opportunity to go out there and cover that 3-touchdown favorite. I mean, they're 22-point favorites on the road right now at the time of this recording, so there's opportunity there. What does Tennessee need to do in order to combat the crowd noise, which this will be a good environment? It's a night game. It's in South Carolina. The fan base will get rowdy. They will try to play their part, especially after seeing how Georgia's fans played their part a couple weeks ago. What does Tennessee need to do to neutralize that? Get off to a fast start, run the football, score the points, send them home early. Do what you are capable of doing, and that'll shut up the crowd. Find a rhythm offensively, something Tennessee could not do against Georgia 2 weeks ago. Find a rhythm. If Tennessee can do that early, then I don't think the crowd will be a factor whatsoever. Offensively, do what you do. I mean, run the football. There's going to be opportunities. Defensively, the intermediate passing game is going to be big. I know that they've got some explosive plays. They're second behind Tennessee, I believe, with passing plays 45 yards or more on the season. Josh Heupel dropped that nugget earlier this week. That's not their game, though. That's not their game, okay? Excuse me. So, for Tennessee, key on those tight ends. Keep everything in front of you. Converge, tackle, and get after the quarterback. The bigger reason why South Carolina's offense has been so bad is because you're pressuring Spencer Rattler. Make him make a decision, and let's see if that decision is the wrong choice to make, okay? Get after him. Play your aggressive style of defense. Blitz, twist, loop. Play those games up front. Hit him. And let's see if he will make a split-second decision and if it will be the wrong decision, because he's done that plenty of times this year. So biggest key to this football game for me, if I'm Tennessee, neutralize that crowd early, take the crowd out of it, find your rhythm offensively, and put up points in the first quarter. That crowd will not affect you the way Georgia's did a couple of weeks ago. So we will see. It's Tennessee and South Carolina. The Volunteers are 22-point favorites. The total sits at 66 at the time of this recording. I anticipate Tennessee winning 10 games in the regular season for the first time since 2003. They will clinch that Saturday, is my opinion. They did win 10 games overall back in 2007, but we're talking about regular season here. So Anyway, looking forward to that. And then, of course, it'll be Vanderbilt to close out the regular season. All right, Boogie Bentley. He is coming up next right here on Locked on Vols. But, hey, this episode is brought to you in part by Underdog Fantasy. All right, so Underdog Fantasy, it's easy to play. It's offered in over 30 states. You go to the Pick'ems section of Underdog Fantasy. You pick between 2 and 5 players across any team, not just your team, not just Tennessee players, and decide if they're going to finish higher or lower the total that is set. It's one of the easiest fantasy to play games out there, and you can win cold hard cash in every single game. So I like to, you know, go and pick different teams other than Tennessee. You got Caleb Williams, one of the better quarterbacks in the country, not better than Hendon Hooker. Heyo. But I like to play a little USC. I did that a couple weeks ago when we were talking Underdog Fantasy for UCLA. It's going to be a big-time game, Saturday, 8 o'clock. I got Caleb Williams under the 322.5 yards passing in this football game. I just think that number is going to be slightly lower. UCLA's a pretty good football team this year. I think they're going to give him something to think about. His running mate, Jordan Addison, out there in the perimeter. I'm going to go over, though, 73.5 receiving yards. So I'm going to take Caleb Williams under 322.5. I'm going to take Jordan Addison over 73.5. And then for DRT, I like his rushing yards to be over 46.5. Okay, so there's plenty of options, as I'm just showing you out right there. That's just in one football game. There's tons of football games to go and choose from for Tennessee and others. Sign up with the promo code Locked On. That's one word. An Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. You put in $100, you get $100 for free. Go to underdogfantasy.com or find the Underdog Fantasy app in the App Store or Google Play Store. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Locked On, one word. Get in the college football pick'em today with Underdog Fantasy. Guys, welcome back into Locked On Vols, your first listen each and every day. Check out Locked On Sports today if you want to get that second listen in. The biggest stories of the day in terms of sports, the take of the day, game recaps, all that and more. That's Locked On Sports today, available on YouTube, wherever you find your podcast. All right, it is Friday. Let's get in our guy from Talking Vols. His name is Boogie Bentley. What's up, Boogie?
What's going on, man? What's going on? I'm ready for some football. I'm ready to go take care of South Carolina Saturday night, 7 p.m. They're talking about the atmosphere. We're going to go in and take their souls on Saturday night. I'm ready for some football.
I was thinking about this kind of on my way home Thursday from the conflicts back to the home office. And, like, this is kind of where you've been spoiled with such a good football season, right? And you and I spoiled, you know, monetarily because of this Tennessee football season. It's just kind of like, man, Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, like there's not a whole lot of juice, you know, in terms of, but you got to remember you got 2 regular season games left, and then, you know, who knows about the postseason, but then you're done for 365. So like I'm having to remind myself to, like, hey, stay on it, man. It's football. It's football. It's football. Just because the team you cover is so good, anything can happen, but still it's football. You only get so much of it.
Yeah, and it's like we talked about after the Georgia loss. It felt like the fans kind of simmered down a little bit. But I think you're right. I think it's less about the loss to Georgia, and it's more about Tennessee just being dominant and going in. You know, previously a South Carolina game, a Missouri game, you're sitting here on Saturday, you're nervous, you're anxious. And it's almost comical. On a live stream this week, I made the comment, I was like, hold on a second. Like, what is South Carolina's record anyway? And, I mean, they're sitting at 6-4, right? Yeah. 6-4 is a pretty decent record for South Carolina. And A year ago, this football team was fighting to get to 7 wins in the regular season. The year before that, complete disaster, complete train wreck. And now it's year 2 of Josh Heupel. We're looking down on teams that have 6 wins with 2 to go. We're looking down on them. And it's Tennessee's back. It feels good to be back where fans, maybe the casual fan, doesn't care as much because Tennessee's favored by more than 3 touchdowns on Saturday.
It's just wild, though, because, of course, you had – you know, the Pittsburgh road trip was massive at the time. Come back, Florida was massive. Of course, it's always massive. You take a breather, go down to Baton Rouge, road trip, LSU, that's a big game. You know, come back, Alabama, massive game. And then a couple weeks after that, you have Kentucky, big game. And then Georgia. And even with Missouri, sure, Missouri's record wasn't good, but like the intrigue there was, all right, good defense. Let's see how this defense does against this offense. And now it's just kind of like, I mean, you know, so anyway, football's football. And you're right, man. South Carolina, they were 5-2 at one point. They had back-to-back losses to Arkansas and Georgia. You know, who hasn't lost to Georgia? Georgia's a really good football team. And then they had back-to-back, or they've lost 2 of the last 3 to Missouri and to Florida. And the way you lost, I mean, Florida just spanked them. And then the way you lost to Missouri just wasn't very good. You beat Vanderbilt as well. Actually, that was Missouri last week. Nonetheless, they were 5-2 at one point, but I think there's a lot of issues with the South Carolina team. They still struggle to score, and they really struggle to stop the run. I think that the Tennessee offense is going to have a Tennessee offensive-type game just like it did last week.
Yeah, they struggle to stop the run. And you know, you look at the last two losses. They've lost two out of their last three, and they were missing the running backs. But I don't think it's going to matter. You can add, you know, what's the kid's name? Marshawn Lloyd's going to be back. Christian Bill Smith is expected to be back this week.
No.
I just don't see – it's not going to matter. Their offense is not going to be able to keep up with Tennessee. Again, the two out of three losses, 6 points against Florida, 10 points against Missouri. You know, in this Tennessee defense, you know, I saw your comment section earlier this week. I don't know what's the obsession with Georgia fans. They are just following us around the internet, whether it's here, whether it's Talking Vols, whether it's VolQuest. They are obsessed with Tennessee right now, and they leave these long, lengthy comments talking about Tennessee and Tennessee fans and all this stuff. But I don't even know where I was going. The Georgia fans completely threw me off my train of thought.
My favorite is when they write a page long. And I mean, hey, we all have typos, okay? You know, that's why I try to proof everything. But and they're insulting, you know, my intelligence or Tennessee fans' intelligence, and they have improper grammar, they have misspelled words. And I'm just like, okay, you know, let's get back at you. Nice spelling there. Wrong use of two. That's the wrong there. You know,
there's so many times that I type out a response to these people and then I just delete it and move on with my life.
See, you're smart. You've been doing this longer than me. You're smart. I'm a little hot tempered sometimes. I don't know if you know that about me, but I get a little hot tempered. I have taken the time to where I will just step away, cool off, and then I'll be fine. But on YouTube, because I feel like the engagement's good, I'll just be like, all right, you son of a gun. You know, I will go after them on YouTube. And like, people be like, get him, Cater. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. Like, it's so much fun on YouTube for me. That's how I do it.
Yeah, you don't come into our comment section and not think that the troops are going to come in right behind us when we respond to that. But I don't even know where I was going with that. Let's get back to Tennessee, South Carolina. What happened? This is live. This feels like a live show.
Spencer Rattler. Not very good stats-wise. 2 years ago, he was really good. He won the Heisman. I don't know if you know this. He won the Heisman last year before game one, even though Bryce Young won it. Spencer Rattler was already awarded the Heisman before last year. Ended up losing his job. Caleb Williams, good quarterback. Spencer Rattler's got good ability. Okay, he does. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, Peyton Manning speaks highly of him, and Josh Heupel spoke highly of him earlier this year. He hasn't produced this year. The stats are not good. 8 touchdowns, 9 picks. Hadn't even thrown over 2,000 yards. I understand the guys around him aren't the best. What do you think of Spencer Rattler so far this year, or just in general?
This South Carolina game has been circled on the calendar for me for a while, going back to the preseason. Because when you look at the transfer portal, where they finished, I think they finished 9th, top 10 in the transfer portal this offseason. Part of that was Spencer Rattler. Yeah. And the question that I had was, what Spencer Rattler are they getting? Are they getting the one that was such a phenomenal athlete coming out of high school? Are they going to get the guy that ended up on the bench pouting at Oklahoma? Which quarterback were they going to get? And you look at his numbers, and, you know, he's not been very good. He's not efficient. He's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns. He's been sacked 23 times. I don't think he's going to pan out. He doesn't seem to be very good. They added some other guys in the transfer portal. They added the tight end from Oklahoma. You know, they added Antoine Wells, who has definitely been the best guy they've added, leading the team in receptions. But they got to have somebody to get those guys the ball. And, you know, it starts and ends with Spencer Rattler, and I don't think he's very good. And, you know, this Tennessee defense, something I was going to say earlier when Georgia fans living in my head apparently distracted me. You know, this defense, the argument, see, I'm right back on track. The Georgia fans like to come in and talk about Tennessee's defense and how it's trash and it's a train wreck, right? And that's such a lazy argument. When you go back, you know, last year, maybe. Bring that argument to me last year and I'll accept it. This year, what are they giving up? 21.9 points per game. But when Tim Banks was hired by Josh Heupel, he said, we're going to play an aggressive defense. We're going to try to force turnovers and get stops at the right time. And now this Tennessee defense is leading the SEC in takeaways, and that's what you want with this Josh Heupel offense that's going to go fast. They're going to score in a hurry. If you can get a defense that's going to get some stops in the red zone, force some field goals instead of allowing guys to get in the end zone and force turnovers, this team's going to be hard to beat. So right back on track with those Georgia fans. Stop with the lazy arguments about Tennessee defense. I think they're going to give Spencer Rattler all he wants and more on Saturday.
I think this defense continues to get better. And you're right. I mean, if you play – so first and foremost, you get beat sometimes, whether it's an offensive tackle, whether it's a quarterback, whether – you know, it's a safety making a nice read and intercepting. I mean, football's football. You're going to lose some battles. I think this Tennessee defense, and stat-wise, pass defense has not looked good. Of course, a lot of that was from the Florida game and from the Alabama game. I just think it's continued to get better. You've got two guys playing corner right now who I would never have picked to be like, oh, those two guys have earned and locked down those starting cornerback jobs for the last month of the season. I would never have said that in fall camp. Credit those guys. Brandon Turnage and Danico Slaughter, who's played star, who's played safety and never played cornerback to my knowledge, except in spring practice. And then the linebacker group, they're not all Americans. They're not great in pass coverage, especially in zone. But I mean, they're so steady. Jeremy Banks, Juwan Mitchell, Aaron Beasley. I mean, Solon Page plays about 10, 15 snaps a game. I feel like the linebacker group has improved so much. And like no one's talking about it. And there, I think it's a big reason why this defense is certainly respectable. And it, you know, held Missouri to no points in the, after that first touchdown in the second half, 38 unanswered points, and Kentucky to 6 points and LSU to 12 points. I mean, I think those linebackers are a big reason why.
Yeah. Aaron Beasley particularly has really come on. And, you know, when all the stuff was going on with Juwan Mitchell at the beginning of the year, and it's kind of like, why aren't we seeing Mitchell? And it's like, hey, man, we may not see Mitchell because Beasley was playing ball early, and he's been so solid all year, didn't go through senior day activities, right? So he's a guy, him and Juwan Mitchell both, you know, you feel pretty good about your starting linebackers. Can Elijah Herring come along? And I think he will. We've seen him make some plays as a true freshman this year. So I think they're pretty good. We'll see how recruiting goes this year. But you mentioned the corners, and I think it was Hubs that was talking about it on one of the VolQuest podcasts this week and talking about how, you know, they're more aggressive. Warren Burrell was so scared of getting beat. And yeah, like you just said earlier, sometimes on the corner, out at corner, you're going to get beat. Mm-hmm. And I think in this offense, you're way better off just to play aggressive, man. Get in their face, make them beat you. If they beat you, fine, snap and clear. Let's go play the next series. Go let the offense score. And that's the beauty of this offense. You can play aggressive on defense. If you get burnt, you're still going to have a shot in 60 minutes of football.
What I love about those corners, Brandon Turnage, instincts. He just knows when to break. He might drop the pick, but he knows when to break and go break up the pass.
But what a play that was last week when he broke on the pass. And he didn't make the pick, but what instincts, yeah, to break on that and almost make a play.
And Danico Slaughter is just going to hit you. I mean, he is a middle linebacker mindset, playing at safety and playing out on the perimeter. So I really like that. I really do. I mean, those two guys might not be the starting quarterbacks next year. I don't know. Maybe they will. They're both coming back, to my knowledge. So, you know, we'll see. But they're playing some good football right now. We're going to have more with Boogie. We're going to talk more Tennessee and South Carolina. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. But, hey, let me tell you about our friends over at Nugenix. Feeling like you just can't get in shape, it's not your fault. As men age, our body naturally loses free testosterone, otherwise called the man hormone. It happens to every man, and it can make it more difficult to stay in shape and be energetic and to be active. Remember when winning just felt so easy? It's because when you were younger, you were at the peak of your testosterone production. That's why. What some have called the winner's hormone or the man hormone, wouldn't it be nice to get that winning edge again and that old swagger back in your step? If you want more energy to counter the negative physical effects going on, Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Testofen will help you turn back the clock, re-energize your workouts, get better results at the gym, and help you look and feel like the man that you really, really want to be. Nugenix Total T is the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. It can help re-energize your life and help you get back to the powerful, confident, good-looking warrior that you used to be. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text COLLEGE to 231231. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape fast. It's absolutely free. Text COLLEGE to 231231. COLLEGE to 231231 today for Nugenix. We got a final segment left here of this Friday edition. Locked On Vols, Tennessee and South Carolina. It is coming up tomorrow at 7 o'clock on ESPN. I get all these times and dates confused when they have two going on at once. You know, they released the Vanderbilt one, and that's 7:30 SEC Network next week. Back-to-back road games, Boogie. Boogie Bentley talking to Vols on here. Back-to-back road games. First time, I think this is in Tennessee's game notes, the first time Tennessee has played back-to-back games to conclude a regular season since 1939. That's hard to believe.
But is it? Is it back-to-back road games? Is it? One's a road game. I'll give South Carolina some credit. I think they're going to show up and they're going to show out. Tennessee's going to have to shut them down early, which I fully expect that crowd to be leaving early in the game. But Vanderbilt, that's a glorified home game. They're talking about Checker Vandy. People out there on social media so upset. They're so soft. We don't want to do that to the seniors. We don't. Do you guys, how quickly you forget that Vanderbilt planted their flag on the power tee. No. I don't feel sorry for anybody. Take no prisoners. Go take care of Vanderbilt. If you guys want to checker Vandy, have fun with it. Disrespect them. Send little brother out with a loss. You guys do what you want.
Florida ran for 374 yards against South Carolina last week. I don't anticipate that happening. I mean, it might. But something that was really, really worrisome for South Carolina last year was the run. They gave up an average of 175 yards a game. That had to improve. I think that was one spot better than Vanderbilt last year. It's gotten worse this year and worse in a large way. They're giving up almost 200 yards on the ground. I feel like see more Dylan Sampson, a little bit more, not 20 touches, but maybe about 10. More Jalen Wright, more Jabari Small, maybe a little Hendon in there. I feel like Tennessee can really just run South Carolina out of its home stadium tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And then if you bring the safety down, they're going to beat you. They are going to beat you deep. And I know South Carolina's got a pretty good corner out there, going to be an NFL player sooner rather than later. But I don't think it was too smart for him to go to the media and talk about how he's going to beat Jalen Hyatt. He's not going to let Jalen Hyatt beat him deep. That's probably a mistake because Jalen Hyatt is going to come in pissed off with an agenda. And yes, it doesn't matter that Shane Beamer didn't recruit him. I love that guy is such, man, what a clown. Like, does he not just remind you of like Butch Jones and Derek Dooley all rolled into one? It doesn't matter who recruited him. It's still a story. Jalen Hyatt going back to his home state. I'm expecting a huge game, but yeah, it's going to start with the run. And anybody that follows this Tennessee football team, you know that that's what this offense starts with, the run game. And South Carolina, absolutely terrible against the run, giving up almost 200 yards a game while Tennessee rushes for almost 200 yards a game. I'm with you, man. You mentioned Dylan Sampson. He looked really good last week. He looked more explosive than he's looked all year. Mm-hmm. I want to see a lot with Dylan Sampson. And I don't know, with you talking about Hooker, how much will they actually run him? I think this offense goes from really good to great when Hendon Hooker is running the football by design. Obviously, you know, he's elusive. He's going to escape the pocket. He's going to make plays. But when they design run plays for him, I think this offense gets to another level. And I know you want to protect him, but still, I think they're almost unstoppable when Hendon's running the football.
It was Will Muschamp who didn't recruit him because Beamer, this is only Beamer's second year, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it had to be Will Muschamp. But regardless, he's played state championship games in that stadium. He is from Irmo, which is just right outside Columbia. He's going home, and he's been asked about it a couple times this week. Other players have been asked about it. Hey, you know, Jalen Hyatt's going home. What's that mean? I'm with you. I feel like Jalen Hyatt is just going to ball freaking out tomorrow because some games just mean more, you know? I mean, yeah, you talk to former Vols all the time, and you know, it says that Alabama game just means more, but you know, whenever I go, you know, I'm Louisiana boy, not me. I'm just saying, you know, whenever we go play at LSU, that game means more to me. Or I'm from Georgia. That game just means an extra more to me. Like this is, I mean, South Carolina is not even a rival, but this game means the world to Jalen Hyatt. And I feel like he might have two or three tutties and just continue that Biletnikoff campaign.
Yeah, I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him go ahead and break the record. What's the record? A little under 1,300 yards. He would have to have a huge, huge evening against South Carolina. But I would love nothing more than to see that kid just go out and dominate, go ahead and get the record. And I hope he destroys the record. Like, let's make it untouchable, man, because Jalen Hyatt became a legend. He became a legend in that Alabama game, and it's just continued, right? It's continued week after week after week. And you love to see it. You love the story, man. We talk about it all the time, you know, the offseason and not putting in the work, the conversation with Bayless Jones. It's just a beautiful story of what can happen when you actually – put in the work. And now we're starting to see some of that with Ramel Keaton. And I love the fact that he didn't go through senior day. I would love nothing more than Ramel Keaton to come back next year and have a 1,000-yard season and get to the NFL. And I think, you know, it's showing these young wide receivers that came in the class of 22. If you go about things the right way, you're going to score in this offense. And, you know, Velus Jones did it. Cedric Tillman did it. Jalen Hyatt's doing it. Ramel Keaton's doing it. It's just building blocks, man. Building blocks for this football team.
Last thing, man. Let's stay on Jalen Hyatt. I mean, Tennessee, South Carolina. I agree with everything you said. Come out early, you know, put that crowd to sleep a little bit. That way the crowd noise won't be affecting you. I think that's imperative starting early in this football game. You know, all the X's and O's, the basics, you know, win the turnover battle, win the line of scrimmage, all that type of stuff. But for Jalen Hyatt, I feel like he should be getting Heisman talk and not just Blitnikoff talk. That's my opinion. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. is having a really, really good year, but Jalen Hyatt's having a better year. And it's pretty incredible the numbers he's putting up. I have no clue why no one is giving him any love for some Heisman talk.
Yeah, it just seems like it's all because Hendon Hooker, right? I mean, everybody's talking about Hendon Hooker. But I'm
like, Alabama's had multiple guys and Ohio State's had multiple guys. Like, I mean, it's happened before. Like, I don't think he'd win it. Don't get me wrong. But, like, I'm just surprised, I guess.
Yeah, but you're right. What if Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyatt had A's or numbers on the side of their helmet and A's on their chest? What if they played for Alabama? Then would they be there? I mean, Jalen Hyatt's leading the nation in touchdown reception, second in receiving yards. And yeah, his receptions are a little bit down. You don't need to catch a lot of balls when you torch guys deep all game long. Like, I don't know what his average yards per reception is, but that's his game, man. He's beating you deep. I would love nothing more. I would love nothing more than for Hendon Hooker to hoist that trophy and Jalen Hyatt be sitting right there beside him. I love the words that Jalen Hyatt says about Hendon Hooker a couple of weeks ago when he sat down with the media. The relationship that those two have, they're both good, humble kids. Like, Jalen Hyatt to go out there against Alabama and have 5 touchdown receptions and just no-sell it and act like it's no big deal moving on to the next. Come on, man. Like, the look on that kid's face. We talk about people leaving comments all the time. Somebody left a comment saying that storming the field after the Alabama win took the moment away from the kids. Are you kidding me? Did you see Jalen Hyatt out there jumping up and down, dancing? You can see him at one point go, give me a cigar. Give me, like, come on, man. He will never, he may have been humble, unlike Ron Slay. We're going to scream it from the mountaintops, but you know he's going to look back and realize just how special that game was one day.
Care to take a guess what Jalen Hyatt is averaging per reception this year? He's got 58 receptions. He's got 1,116 yards. Care to guess what his average per reception is? Well, see,
you threw the numbers out there, and now you're going to show everybody that I'm horrible at math.
He's got no calculator.
It's got to be, well, what, 25, 20, 25? It's got to be over 20.
19.2.
Close. I thought he would be close to 20. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like you said, you're not going to haul in a lot of catches when you're averaging almost 20 yards reception.
Yeah, it's massive. It's massive.
He deserves to be in the conversation for sure.
Over there on Talking Balls this week, how's it been? What you guys been talking about? And, of course, tomorrow night, right after the game is over, you guys are going to be doing a post-game show live.
That's right. We've been talking a lot about the college football playoff this week. Tennessee right on the outside. What's the hot team that the media is talking about? Where will Tennessee end up if TCU runs the table? Saturday we'll be live an hour before kickoff for the tailgate show. That's where the members of our channel get to come on and basically host the show. It's like a tailgate. Bring a beer, pull up a chair, join the channel, and jump on and talk some college football with us. Then we'll be live immediately after the game for the post-game show. So, hey, my narrative this week is I want a piece of Georgia. I want a rematch with Georgia. I am sick and tired of being scared. I've had a couple of weeks to get over the loss. I got a shirt on right here that says end of the storm. Do you know what that means? End of the storm is what bison do. When a storm is coming, they don't go around it. They don't turn and run from it. They face the storm head on because that's the quickest way to get through the storm. I want a piece of Georgia. Give me the best team in the country, and let's get some redemption on a neutral site. That's my come to Jesus meeting to wrap up Locked On Talking Vols.
Boogie Bentley, host of Talking Vols podcast, part of the Talking Vols network. And you're right. This is a Friday crossover. It's Locked On Talking Vols every single Friday right here on Locked On Vols. I join Boogie typically every Monday morning around 9:30. So call it the Monday morning quarterback, except I'm not a quarterback and I didn't play at Tennessee. So You know, that's what we called it whenever we have people on over the radio station. So anyway, hey, appreciate you as always. Thanks for coming on, dude, and enjoy the game. And hopefully we'll enjoy another Tennessee win to, you know, continue to propel the Vols into the playoff conversation even more.
Sounds good, man. Always a blast. We'll talk to you Monday morning.
All right, man. Boogie Bentley every single Friday again right here on Locked On Vols. Hey, that's going to do it. We gave you my keys. We kind of got to know South Carolina just a little bit more. I know we had a crossover with Locked On Gamecocks yesterday, but we went behind enemy lines a little bit more, kind of learned about South Carolina, and then we talked with Boogie Bentley for our Locked On Talking Vols crossover here the last two segments. Appreciate you guys as always. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit that like button. Subscribe if you haven't already, and of course, it's completely free anywhere you want to listen to your podcast. Subscribe there as well. Give Locked On Sports Today a listen. Biggest stories, takes of the day, all that good stuff right behind Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys as always. Follow me on Twitter at _Caner at Locked On Vols for some continual coverage. Going to put out a bonus show tomorrow. It's going to be basketball themed because I haven't taught basketball whatsoever because I'm going to be honest with you. It's football season. I don't care, but I need to get some basketball out there because I know you guys want to hear it. So we're going to do a little bonus show tomorrow as well. Guys, appreciate it. If you're going to the game, stay safe. We'll do it again on Monday. This is Locked On Vols.